You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
The first significant box of the 2021 season has officially been checked. The Green Bay Packers are NFC North champs. They gave us a collective heart attack along the way, but the Green Bay Packers are NFC North champs. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's brothers and sisters. This one was as weird as it gets. 31-30 road win over the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium. Yeah, that's right. Three divisional titles in a row for Green Bay now. Also 3 in 3 years for head coach Matt LaFleur as he continues the incredible start to his tenure in Titletown. And here's a fun stat I learned after the game had ended. I don't know if you all saw this. So this is the 20th year of the NFC North after it was, of course, previously the old NFC Central. And in those 20 years the division has existed, the Packers have now won it 12 times. Let me say that again, 12 times. That is freaking incredible. Just complete and total dominance of the North by Green Bay. The other eight division titles are evenly split between the Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings. Each have 4. And the Detroit Lions. Womp, womp. The Detroit Lions have none. But there's good Lions news in a minute, so just hang on. And speaking of the number 12, early transition, crushed it. Your piss is clearly hot, Chris. The Packers' number 12, Aaron Rodgers, tied Brett Favre for most touchdowns thrown as a Packer at 442. Incredible. 442 touchdowns in Green Bay for old number 12. Now, I don't want to do too much career retrospective stuff with Rodgers at this moment, especially since, sadly, I still think we're going to be doing that in a few months' time, looking back on his time in Green Bay. But yeah, he's obviously one of the best to ever do it, you know, and we've been extremely fortunate to have Rodgers and Favre as our trigger men for really the last 30 years now. I mean, man, 884 touchdowns between the two in green and gold, that is outstanding. And for me personally, this episode is a bit of an almost milestone for me. This is my 99th episode of the show. Can you believe that shit? I've done 99 of these. That's crazy. One more to 100. More on that towards the end of the podcast. With the division clinching win, the Packers improved to 11-3 on the season. The second and third place teams, the Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears, face off on Monday Night Football. The 6-7 Vikings fighting to keep their playoff hopes alive. And the Lions, yes. So here's the good Lions news. They crushed the Arizona Cardinals at home Sunday, 30-12, helping the Packers and improving to 2-11-1 on the season. But the Lions have won 2 out of 3, so I think that officially makes them somewhat hot. Maybe that's just me. There's some heat there in the D, you know? I'll tell you what, Dan Campbell, we all kind of laughed when he got hired, you know, the biting the kneecap shit, but he's kept them playing hard. I think the Lions have... I think they made the right hire there. I think he's going to work out. They need talent because they don't have a lot of that, but they play their asses off for him. You got to respect that, you know. They had nothing to play for today, and they just crushed Arizona from the jump. I watched that game. That was awesome. That wasn't a fluke. They just kicked the shit out of Arizona, you know. And as I mentioned, that Lions win was big for the Packers as the Packers are chasing the number one overall seed and the lone bye in the NFC right now. Losing to the Lions, the Cardinals dropped to 10-4. Same record as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As they were blanked 9-0 by the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football. Incredible performance from the Saints defense. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that. Particularly the Saints defensive line. They just swallowed Tampa's offensive line and Tom Brady whole. I mean, they just ate them alive. Oh, awesome. Thank you, New Orleans. It's the least they could do after they kicked the shit out of Green Bay in week one, right? So, for the Pack to get the top seed, there's really two things that we need to root for. The first thing, obviously, would be for Green Bay to win out, right? That's simple. If the Packers do that, they get the number one seed locked up, no questions asked. But if Green Bay loses one of their last three, the team to keep an eye on now becomes the Dallas Cowboys. Here's why. The Cowboys are currently 10-4. They're a game back. But the Cowboys have only one conference loss compared to two for the Packers. So in a scenario where those teams end up tied, or even if, I believe, if Arizona, Tampa, Dallas, and Green Bay, some combination or all four end up tied, I think at, say, 13-4, if Dallas wins out in this scenario, Dallas would get the top seed because they would only have the one conference loss. So keep an eye on Dallas. Now, they've got Washington and Arizona at home before closing at Philly. So not the easiest schedule for our old pal Mike McCarthy. But yeah, let's just hope Dallas loses at least once. That gives Green Bay the most breathing room. But again, we just fucking win out. That's the easiest thing for the Packers. Just beat Cleveland, Minnesota, and Detroit. Get a week off. And that, as I said last week, now that the Packers are officially division champs, love saying that, that concludes me talking about the division, how each of the teams in the division did. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Now it's only going to be focusing on playoff seeding. That's where that will go at that point in the show going forward. Okay, before we get into the fun, God, I hope you've had fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LemsMKE at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good too. Again, the last comment on there about the Packers Talk shows is from the gentleman who hated all of our shows. It's the holiday season. Could you find it in your heart to leave a positive comment? Come on, man. I don't want that to be the first thing people see is this guy dogging all of us. Come on, top him. Make your positive comment the most recent one. Come on. Throw me a freaking bone here. And we're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app as well. And you know what? I'm just going to keep telling you, subscribe. You mash down on that subscribe button. The Packers Talk shows get delivered right to your phone. You don't have to do any searching. It's there. And if you go to my Twitter page, if you go to the Twitter page and follow, scroll down a little bit, you'll get to see the interview I conducted with Fox 6 here in Milwaukee on Saturday night. That's right. Look at me. I'm on the local news. So my wife and I, just a quick story. My wife and I took the kids to get their haircuts yesterday. I also got my hair cut for the first time in 22 months since before the pandemic started. We all look a lot better now. And then afterwards, you know, it was north of the city. So we're driving down. We're like, hey, let's go check out the Christmas tree. And they had a Jack Daniel's barrel tree out front of Pfizer, kind of a special thing this year. We're like, let's go check that out. You know, it'll be fun. So we're walking by outside the arena and I see this TV crew. I see this TV reporter and her cameraman and they come over and she's like, hi, so I'm wearing my Packer 50s throwback winter from the throwbacks. I'm wearing the winter cap and I got the throwback coach's jacket. I look hot. I'm not going to lie. I was digging the way I looked. And they're like, she's like, you're obviously a big sports fan. Would you want to talk about all the COVID scheduling stuff going on, the scheduling shuffling? And I was like, sure. So we did the interview and then the cameraman didn't hit the record button. Can you believe that shit? So we get done. She's like, that was great. I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. And the cameraman's like, I forgot to hit record. So we had to do the interview a second time. But, yeah, it was great. And then a friend of mine was like, did you remember to plug the show? And I was like, no, it never even dawned on me till after. And I was like, fuck, I should have said something about the show. Could have got some free pub. But anyways, that's on the Twitter page. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers dub. A give me my hat and t-shirt because the division is ours dub. Oh, hell yeah, baby. You always love winning those hat and t-shirt games. Always special to do that. Of course, the fashion in which Green Bay won this particular hat and t-shirt game was, I mean, it was out there, man. I'll say that. And that's where I want to start tonight. So I said this on Twitter afterwards, that you could say Green Bay should have never let this game get close. That the Packers should have blown Baltimore out. And you could say Green Bay should have lost. And guess what? Both statements would be right. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking about in the beginning when I said this one was as weird as it gets. How many games can you say that about? You could for this one. You know, on the one hand, they were up 28-17 early in the fourth. They take over at the Baltimore 29 after John Harbaugh goes for it on 4th and 5 out of desperation and doesn't get it. You know, just keep rolling like you've been rolling on offense. Get it in the end zone, and it's game over. Oh, for sure it would have been game over at that point. It would have been 35-17 pack. I think you would have seen the game get really out of hand then, to be honest. But Rodgers overshoots Alan Lazard on 3rd and goal at the 11. Had him open, just not a great pass from 12. Packers get held to a field goal. And we saw what happened after that. Packers defense falls apart. Offense shits the bed on its one real possession. And it took a very questionable, to me anyways, decision to go for two from Harbaugh and a tipped pass by Darnell Savage to save the day. And speaking of Harbaugh, yeah, let's, you know what, I want to get into some of the decisions he made Sunday, because that's really what I mean when I say you could make the argument Green Bay should have lost. I felt like the decisions he made cost his team the game, cost Baltimore the game. You know, of course, going for two, I wouldn't have done it. Kick the PAT, tie the game up. I know there's still 42 seconds left. Packers have Rodgers in a timeout, but you just held Green Bay to a 3-and-out. I would roll the dice with my defense there. That's me. You know, didn't like the decision to go for it on that 4th and 5 I just talked about a little bit ago. I know it's 28-17. Packers offense is rolling. Look, again, I get that. But that just felt too desperate for me at that point. I don't know about you guys. It's still early in the fourth quarter. Punt it. Maybe you get a stop. It's not like Green Bay scored every possession before that, you know? So that, and, you know, going for the two, that's a 4-point swing. And then his decision early in the game to go for it on 4th and goal at the 3, I didn't get that at all. It's early. You got a kid making a second career start. Take the 3 points. Take that positive and you build on it. But Baltimore goes for it. Devondre Campbell, my guy, Sky Uma, University of Minnesota, buries Tyler Huntley for the sack on the sidelines. No points to the Ravens. So if you're keeping score, those decisions, they ultimately lead to a 7-point swing at all. You know, Harbaugh cost his team 4 points and kind of gave Green Bay 3 in a game that ended 31-30. You know, and if everything else is the same, which is kind of a dangerous exercise, I know. But if it is, this game ends 34-28 Baltimore. They win. You know, look, I'll just say it now. I've kind of talked about it a little bit on the show, but a little bit more here now. I'm not a big analytics guy. Sorry, I'm fairly conservative with this stuff. I'm old school, man. I believe you don't chase points early. You don't go for two until you absolutely have to. You stack as many positives as you can on the scoreboard, and usually that ends up, you know, working to your benefit. But okay, enough about Harbaugh. What is this, Lemp's talking flock? This ain't a damn Ravens podcast, it's a damn Packers podcast. So back to the green and gold. Saw things from the Packers Sunday that gave me reasons for hope. Some things that gave me reasons to be pessimistic. And reasons for pure dread. The reasons for hope start with positive, because they won, lie with the offense. 4th week in a row, scoring at least 30 points. I think it's fair to say this group is humming at this point, which is great. This is the time you want to see that. This is when you want to start getting really hot. And it all starts with Rodgers. I mean, his last 4 games, he has been out of his mind. Are you ready for this? Rodgers' last 4 games, he's completing passes at a 70.5% clip. A 70.5% completion percentage for Rodgers. 1,301 yards, 13 touchdowns, no picks, a 127.7 rating. That's from the Twitter account StatMuse at StatMuse. That good? That's pretty good, right? I think that's good. Yeah, I mean, he's been awesome. You know, he's been smart with the football, not chasing the big plays too much, spreading the ball around, and showing his trademark lethal accuracy Sunday, and finishing 23 of 31, 268 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 8.6 yards per attempt. That's fairly outstanding. A couple of plays Sunday really highlighted that accuracy from Rodgers. The throw to MVS, to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS as we call him here on the show, late in the first half. What a beauty. Rodgers is under pressure, delivers a strike to MVS, and he gets out to the 50. That was a great throw by Rodgers into a really tight window. Not even fair. I would say it was a really tight window. Great throw. And then his touchdown pass to Aaron Jones early in the third quarter. I was really impressed by that, you know. 1st and goal at the 9. Hang on a second. There we go. First and goal at the 9. Rodgers rolls to his left. It looked like he was going to scramble. And at the last second, he spots Jonesy in the end zone wide open. Flips it to him for the score. That's not an easy pass to make on the move. Like, I know Jones was wide open, but Jonesy was on the move. He was going backwards in the end zone. That's a tough play to make. And Rodgers still made it. It was a beautiful pass. Perfect. PAT good. 21-14 pack. 7:40 to go in the third. That drive was awesome. 7 minutes and 20 seconds. 13 plays covering 80 yards and all. That was big boy football from Green Bay. You know? And, you know, talked about MVS. He and Aaron Jones, those two, they gave me a lot of reasons for optimism after their showing Sunday. Thought those guys were great. Start with MBS. 5 catches, 98 yards, and a score. Jonesy, 13 carries, 58 yards. Also caught 2 passes for 12 yards. So 15 touches for 70 yards and a score from Jonesy. That's awesome. Let's start with Jones. Jones hadn't had a game like that in a minute, right? Because he'd been injured. A.J. Dillon's been getting a lot of the spotlight lately. It was great to see him get back to his old way Sunday. And he was particularly awesome on that drive that I just talked about that ended with him catching the touchdown. Jones had 5 carries for 32 yards on that drive, showing he is still extremely important. Every bit as important as he's ever been. He still is. You know, in MVS, I thought that was MVS's best game of the year. I think even better than the Vikings game where he had 4 for 123 and a score. He was really doing nice work turning it upfield for the Yak. Gotta love the Yak. Yards after catch, right, baby? And his touchdown grab, goddamn, I loved everything about that sequence. Rodgers with a bullet to MVS on the slant, and he just gets it across for the score, diving to break the plane. Loved MVS's fight on that play. That was awesome. That was really great to see from him. PAT good there, 28-17 pack, 12:54 to go. That was the play where Rodgers tied Favre for the most touchdown passes in team history. Loved what I saw from the tight ends collectively, right? I thought the trio of Mercedes Lewis, Big Dog, Tyler Davis, and Josiah DeGuara, I thought they were really good. Those three combined for, what is it, 4-7 catches, right? Yeah, 7. I should have done the math on this before, sorry. 7 catches for 7 catches for 78 yards. I mean, that's good stuff from the tight ends. It feels like Green Bay is finally starting to figure out how to fill the void left by Bobby T, right? Robert Tonyan, after he blew his knee out against Arizona, he's done for the year. Feels like they're finally starting to figure out how to kind of fill that void, and they're doing it with this platoon group of these three guys. I thought each guy brought something to the table. Lewis is just big dog. How much do you love him? You know, I've said this before. I mean, he moves at the speed roughly of a fucking rascal scooter at this point. But he's so big. It's like, and if he gets even a little head of steam, it's like, who wants to tackle this guy? Like, no thanks. I'll pass. No chance, man. Davis had the 1 catch for 22 yards. Rodgers hitting him down the middle. Kind of liked what I saw from him. Looked like he was doing some nice work in the blocking as well. And DeGuara seems to finally be finding his footing as a pro. He had the nice work last week catching the ball, lining up as a fullback. They clearly want to use him as their Kyle Juszczyk type guy. And I'm not just ripping Aikman off. Because I actually said it to my wife. I said, they kind of want to use DeGuara as their Kyle Juszczyk. And then literally like 20 seconds later, Aikman's like, I think they kind of see him as their version of Kyle Juszczyk. My wife's like, oh my God, am I hearing an echo? And I'm like, no, I'm just that smart sometimes. But, you know, it feels like he's finally starting to find his footing as a blocker, as a receiver, 3 catches for 16 yards. Really liking what I'm seeing out of DeGuara. He's finally starting to come along. That's great. Davante Adams is out there doing Davante Adams things. 6 catches, 44 yards, and a score. His touchdown. Rodgers out of the gun to Adams on the quick out. Adams just roasted Robert Jackson, the Baltimore corner, who they said on the broadcast was getting his first real action of the year. Just roasted him right off the line for the touchdown. PAT good, 14-14 with 109 to go in the half. So imagine you're Robert Jackson, and you haven't really played much at corner this season. And you finally get some game action. I was laughing about this. Imagine you finally get some game action, and your first real assignment is the best fucking receiver on planet Earth. He must have just been like, oh my god. How the fuck did I draw this assignment right out of the gate? He knew he had no chance. Adams just roasted him. That was awesome. And then when you factor in A.J. Dillon, now A.J. did not have the biggest day. 7 carries, 22 yards. He had the one catch for 13 yards. What is that? 8 for 35. Not the biggest day, but, you know, still showed some tough running. Had the one touchdown. And an offensive line that should start to get better as it adds pieces back. You have to love where the offense is going. You know, Bakhtiari, I do think will be back. I think he'll be back for Christmas. Josh Myers finally was seen at practice last week, so hopefully he's going to be back soon. We don't know the exacts on Billy Turner yet, but they think his injury was not season-ending. They'll get him back at some point. If they can get those three guys back before the playoffs and go left to right, Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers, my son Royce Newman, and Billy Turner, I mean, you got to love that. That's massive. That's huge. This offense is definitely trending up when you factor all this in. That's great. Trending down, however, is the defense in a major, major way. That's a transition I wish I didn't have to make. Talk about, I talked about the offensive upswing in the past 4 weeks, but there's definitely been a major downswing for the defense. How much of a downswing? So in the first 10 games, the Packers were allowing exactly 18 points a game. Over the last four, 30.5 points allowed per game. That is fucking yikes. And look, I know they've had injury stuff, as they have really all season. But we can't say, wow, they're kicking ass despite all the injuries when things are going well, and then be like, well, yeah, but I mean, they're banged up when they're playing poorly. That's not how this works. At least that's not how it works for me. Their damning recent trend of giving up big plays continued Sunday, which makes it, you guessed it, 4 weeks in a row that's happened. That 45-yard completion to tight end Mark Andrews, more on him in a minute, early on Sunday was a prime example. There were others. They weren't very good at all on third down. Baltimore went 7 of 13, and they just had no answers for a running quarterback for really the second week in a row. So, Huntley, I got to say I was impressed by this kid. 28 of 40 passing, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Was smart with the football, didn't make a lot of risky throws. I think a lot of that was game, you know, play calling and coaching too, but 5.4 yards per attempt. He made the biggest difference with his feet. 13 carries, 73 yards, and a score. He was dynamite rushing the football, you know? There's no real other way to say it. But Green Bay definitely made it easier for him too, didn't they? To my eye, they never really spied him at all. What was that? Seriously, what was Joe Barry doing? They never really, even Aikman was saying during the game, are they going to start running contain? I mean, Aikman's a brain-dead yokel. He didn't think that play on MVS late in the first half was pass interference. What are you talking about, Troy? But even Aikman was like, are they going to start running contain? Are they going to spy Huntley at all? What are they doing? Oh my God, all day. The kid was running at will. I mean, his last touchdown run, right? Right at the end of the game. Huntley on second down. Huge hole. Huge hole. No one was cluing in on him. He takes off into the end zone for the score. No one's buying him. No one. They had no answers for Andrews either. Holy shit. 10 catches for 136 yards and 2 scores? Are you kidding me? Huntley was targeting him all day, particularly in big spots. And Green Bay never slowed him down at all. The big spot stuff was especially infuriating. Third downs, red zone stuff. You know Andrews is going to be the target. And they did nothing. Nothing. The only time they made anything happen was Savage tipping the ball away at the end on the two-point conversion pass to Andrews, which, I mean, I guess even the sun shines on a dog's ass sometimes, right? To quote White Men Can't Jump. Because, I mean, Andrews was roasting Savage all day. Tough homecoming for Darnell today, for sure. At least Eric Stokes kept Hollywood Brown in check, man. That was really impressive by Stokes. Brown had 10 catches for 43 yards. They kept going to him on the short stuff and hoping he'd break one. And Stokes just, his tackling all day was awesome. Superb from him. But the Andrews stuff, oh my God, it was infuriating. And, you know, really, to me, the biggest thing is that they've just failed to put teams away lately, you know? talked about that already with regards to this particular game, of course. But look at the last month's worth of games. They drop a million picks against Minnesota. They let the Rams hang around until the end. They needed to recover an onside kick to close that out. Let the Bears keep it relatively close, even late last week. Then Sunday against the Ravens, this one here. That wasn't happening earlier in the year. And now it is, and it has to stop. You know? And you can't just say, well, Jair's going to come back, and Kenny's going to come back, and Z's going to come back, and that'll fix us. Because they won't. Yes, getting those three back will help in a major way. But it's not going to solve everything, you know? You've got to get this going in the right direction now. Speaking of things that need to get going in the right direction, hey, there's the Packers special teams, but they've been on this list for roughly 20 to 25 years now, so no fucking surprise there. First quarter, I mean, almost right away, there they were. There they were. Corey Bjorquez, punt, hangs up for a long time. Isaac Yiadom, like a complete and total idiot, pops the returner after he's called for the fair catch. 15-yard penalty, put Baltimore in Green Bay territory. They end up scoring on that drive. That made it 7-0 Ravens. What was Yiadom doing? Can someone tell me what he was doing on that? Why are you hitting the guy after he's called for fair catch? Come on, man. Be smarter than that. Still in the first quarter, Amari Rodgers finally has a good return, and it's wiped out by a holding call. So here's my thing on that. I don't even think the Packers should bother with returns at this point, and I'll tell you why. At this point in the season, your reputation as a group precedes you, right? Like, if you're a secondary that covers really well, you're going to get away with some pass interference stuff because you've got a rep for being a good secondary, right? Good offensive lines can get away with holdings. Bad offensive lines, you know, flip that, get called for holding, even if maybe they weren't. Your rep, we're that far enough into the season now. The refs know this Packers special teams group is so ass. Like, they're not going to, if the Packers break off a good return, the refs are like, well, there must have been a fucking hold somewhere because there's no way the Packers are doing that otherwise. You know, people were like, oh, that was a ticky-tack holding call, and it was. But that's what happens at this point. If you've got a rep as a bad special teams group, they're going to call you for holding on returns. Don't even bother at this point. Just fair catch it. Catch it in the end zone. You know what I mean? Just forget it. It's pointless. Still in the first half, oh, there's more. They gave up a nice kick return after the aforementioned Adams touchdown that made it 14-14. Because apparently it's a league rule they have to do this at least once a week after scoring a touchdown. I didn't know that, did you? And then in the third quarter, this was really bad. After the Justin Tucker field goal, made it 21-17 Packers. Tucker with the short pop-up kick, aimed it right at Green Bay outside linebacker Jonathan Garvin because, hey, it made sense to have him there, right? Garvin almost muffs it. No one can recover. Thankfully, Garvin did run back and get it, but it looked bad for a minute. It looked like a disaster for a minute there. So no major, major disasters really for Green Bay like Sunday like last week, but still a minus day overall for that group. Absolutely. Yeah, major minus for the special teams once again. I talked earlier about things I saw here that filled me full of dread. Yeah, I meant special teams. Spoiler alert, that's what I meant. Still think they're the number one cause for concern, cause for complete fucking panic, actually, with this team, outside of injuries. But hey, they ain't making a change of coordinator now, so I guess all we can do is hope for the best and watch with one eye closed. I don't really know what else to tell you at this point. There's really nothing I can say. That's just kind of where we're at with this group. Okay, so I asked people to submit questions via Twitter, all the other usual platforms. Got a few here. So I thought let's go through those now. Let's start with Twitter. Hang on a second. Pull this up. All right. First question comes from my old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers. Brew Crewer at @asummers_time. He asks, would Tyler Huntley be the second best QB in the NFC North right now? I don't know if he'd be the second best. He'd be in the running. The Tyler Huntley we saw today, yeah, he would probably be the second best. Better than Cousins and Justin Fields. But I'm guessing that Tyler Huntley's not quite as good as he showed Sunday. The Packers didn't have a lot of game film on him, which probably helped him out a little bit. And I don't think the Packers, to be honest with Huntley, I don't think they took him very seriously. I mean, Adrian Amos basically said afterwards, I don't know if you saw this, but he said something to the extent of like, you know, in this league, it's every week. And if you don't take that opponent seriously, you can get embarrassed. I mean, he basically kind of, to me anyways, admitted that they didn't take Huntley and Baltimore overall seriously, which was a huge mistake, because I said on the fucking show last week, Baltimore's been beat up by injuries, but that's a hard-nosed, tough football team. They always have been. Going back to the Brian Billick, Ray Lewis days. You know, you could give John Harbaugh a team of high school kids and put them in Ravens uniforms, he'd have them ready to battle. You know, the Packers, frankly, I think they kind of slept on them, and it almost cost them big time. So I don't know if Huntley is quite as good as he showed today, but the Huntley we saw today, yeah, he would be, for sure. Ian Coppins at Ian Coppins, or Ian at Ian Coppins, writes, still undefeated when Yosh starts. As you get paid the big bucks, can you scour other practice squads for a new returner and send a Goot? Please and thank you. I didn't know they were undefeated when Yosh starts. That's awesome. He's been good. You know, he had the one play today. He got kind of whipped off the edge. But overall, another good day for him. As I get paid the big bucks. Hey, man, if I get paid the big bucks, I don't know where they are. Because I don't see any money. I don't see any bucks for this. This is all for the love of the game for me. But that's what they need to do. They need to start looking for a new return. I don't know why. Are they going to give Tyler Irvin a call? He's not on a roster. I think he could help as a returner. I think he could. I know he gets hurt a lot, but it's already December 20th. They only need him for like a month or a month or two, you know? So yeah, that would be my advice, would be give Tyler Irvin a call. And then last one comes from Lucky at the Madisonian. He writes, Big Dad Energy, that is all. Hashtag Go Pack Go. So Lucky is referring to, I tweeted earlier in the game about Mercedes Lewis running at the speed of a fucking rascal scooter. And he said, yeah, it's big time, Big Dad Energy, like a dad playing in the backyard with his kids. And that's exactly what it's like watching Lewis out there. even with these monsters in the NFL, he towers above them. So yeah, definitely big dad energy. I agree with you there, Lucky. All right, we go to the email now, the inbox. Got a couple here. Let's start from Kyle Terpenning, who refuses to get Twitter. Kyle, God bless you. That was a heart attack inducing game. Andrews was the only real threat they had, and he basically did whatever he wanted. I would have thought that we'd have had a minimum two guys covering him, if not three. That defense has really taken a massive step back since that shutout against Seattle, and the special teams are guaranteed to cost us a Super Bowl. They are the worst unit in the history of the NFL. Drayton needs to be fired and immediately. If they don't, then it's obvious they don't care about winning a Super Bowl. And why the hell do we start off so damn slow? The first quarter is a nightmare quarter for us, and I cannot understand why. Against a real opponent, that will cost us big time. On the bright side, I hope Rodgers breaks Favre's record on Christmas. That would be awesome. And division champs three straight years. On top of that, the Lions actually won! If the Saints could find some way to win their game, we'll be sitting pretty. Go Pack Go. Well, Kyle, the Saints did find a way to win their game. How about that? So a lot to unpack here. The Andrews stuff, I thought it was weird that they trusted Savage so much for so long to hang with Andrews, because you could tell fairly early that he just was not up to the task today. That Andrews was just too much for him, you know? And then at one point they went to Kevin King, which is like, what the fuck are you doing that for? That's going from bad to worse. You want to pour more gas on the fire? I was surprised they didn't make more of an effort to double him up. I agree with you there. I thought that was a big mistake by Joe Barry. Talked about the defense. Agree, they've definitely taken a step back. They have to get it going. Yeah, it's funny you call the special teams the worst unit in the history of the NFL, because that would give the Packers two such honors, because wasn't their 2011 defense statistically the worst defense in NFL history the year after they won the Super Bowl? It was one of the worst defenses statistically in NFL history. I know that. I don't know if they've been passed since then, but you'd have that and the special teams. So you'd have one of the worst defenses ever, one of the worst special teams ever, both in the last 10 years. Great. The great question about why do they start off so damn slow, I have no idea why that is. But it's definitely a concern, you know? Because you're right. I mean, Baltimore with a backup quarterback is one thing, but you get in the playoffs, you know, you start slow, it can be game over. We've all seen that with playoff games. You know? They can be ended that fast. You know, you start off slow midway through the second quarter. Look at the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. Back in, what was that, 2016? Whatever year that was. When they got the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. I mean, they started out slow, and it wasn't even halftime yet, and the game was fucking over. That's how fast playoff games flip. So you're right. They have to get over these slow starts. It's a huge issue. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Our next question comes from Kyle, who used to have Twitter. Go from Kyle to Kyle. Passing the torch. Love it. He writes, NFC North champs. Nobody is taking that away from us. But losses never feel like wins, but sometimes wins feel like losses. This felt like a loss by foreshadowing a disappointing playoff run. With the defense regressed, you stole my points per game stat I was going to share on your Twitter. And the special teams being dodged. Wait, hang on. So do you have Twitter, Kyle? Because you said you won't get. I thought you were done with Twitter. I'm confused. Anyways, and the special teams being such dog shit, it's really hard to see this team winning multiple playoff games, especially if they end up on the road. What are your thoughts on the defensive game plan? Barry seemed to be giving the Ravens everything they wanted. Thanks for the help today, Detroit. Go Pack Go, Kings of the fucking North, Kyle. So yeah, definitely some stuff to unpack here, which is cool. And yeah, I mean, I definitely, I don't know if I'd say it felt like a loss, but I said on Twitter, it was a disappointing finish. Like, it was great to say, NFC North champs. But the last 9.5 minutes was really, yeah, that was bad. It showed a lot of the issues that have been plaguing this team lately. You're right. It's with the special teams, and if the defense doesn't get going, it's going to be hard to win anything on the road, for sure. You might get away with some of that stuff at Lambeau, but it'll be hard to win on the road, which is why they have to get the number one seed, in my mind. Have to. My thoughts on the defensive game plan. It was a weird game plan for Barry, you know? I think they were definitely hamstrung. I'm not making excuses, as I said earlier, but not having Kenny in the middle, definitely Baltimore did not respect the Packers up front at all. Oop, burp, gotta keep it real. I thought Barry played it too soft, for sure. There was a 1/3 down completion. Shannon Sullivan looked like he was about fucking 13 yards off the line of scrimmage. Thought they were definitely playing it too safe. Didn't think they made enough of an effort to really get after the kid, you know? Blitzed a little, but I thought they should have been blitzing more. I thought they should have been more aggressive and trying to force Huntley into some mistakes. Because Baltimore called that, they called a very smart game. A lot of safe throws, smart throws for the kid. Don't make him, you know, don't put him in a spot where he has to force anything. Nothing risky. The only way you're going to force them to do that is you've got to blitz. You've got to get after him and make him throw earlier than he wants to. And I didn't feel like there was enough. I thought it was too passive from Barry, which is disappointing because I don't think that's been an issue with him most of the season, but I felt like it was today for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it was awesome to see Detroit win. That was great stuff. We go over to Facebook now. I do have one in the old bag of donuts Facebook inbox, which you can write to me at. This is from Sean LaFond. He writes, a dub is a dub. One thing I thought I would see this year is packages with Dylan and Aaron Jones on the field together lined up in the backfield. It seems like a tough backfield to defend against. You can even split them out wide before the snap. Seems like a tough personnel to defend against, and I am surprised I have not really seen it at all this year. Thoughts? That's a great question, Sean. I want to give you... I give you a round of applause. That's a great fucking question. Because I don't know. I don't know why they haven't done it, right? Like, you're right. It's a tough backfield to defend against because it gives you some... Imagine you're an opposing defense and you've got Dylan, Jonesy, MVS, and Adams on the field at the same time. Not even factoring anybody else in. Just those four. That's a lot to cover. And have to worry about getting after Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why they don't play them more together. I agree. There's so much you could do. You could have them both. You have one on each side of Rodgers and have them both go out in motion, fake a handoff to one, pitch it. I mean, there's so many things you could do. I don't know why they haven't. It seems silly to me. Like you're hamstringing yourself. I don't get it. So that's a great question. I hope that happens at some point. We see those two lined up in the backfield together because that would be fantastic. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And then the last question comes from my other former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, my old pal, Gene Bossling. Gene, I always give you the hammer. You know that. Gene writes, setting aside the mounting concerns I have with the secondary until Jair gets back, here's the reason I think this time could maybe, just maybe, be different in the playoffs. MVS. This team is so different with him as a reliable number two receiver, especially when he's in the slot. He's such a matchup problem for other teams that if he continues to be consistent and keeps Rodgers' trust, he might make the difference. Yeah, I agree. MVS is definitely a major X factor for this offense and indeed for the team as a whole, because you're right, man. When he's got that connection going with Rodgers, it makes everything so much harder to defend for opposing defenses, for sure. Because he's the one guy they have who's a real height, weight, speed guy. They don't really have anybody else like that. So his ability to get open, get deep, and get open, even if, you know, Rodgers is throwing, if that connection is going, that stretches everything out. You can have him run deep routes. You don't have to do anything even. You don't have to throw him the ball. Everything opens up. Yeah, him getting going is huge for this offense. Absolutely. I agree with you. I think he could definitely make a huge difference for this team in the playoffs. Absolutely. And you know he's in a contract year. He hasn't done a lot this year. He's been hurt. He had the one big game against Minnesota. It was good today. You know, if MVS wants that big contract, this would be the time to turn it on. So I'm with you on that, buddy, for sure. Great question. Great question, comment, whatever. Okay. Thank you to everybody who writes in questions. I say this every week. You could do anything in the world after these games end. You take a few minutes to send me a question or a comment in this little corner of the world, and I always appreciate it. Okay, big picture time now. 41 minutes in. The 2021 Green Bay Packers are starting to resemble the Packers we've come to know and love over the past, decade or so. Or is it hate? No, it's love hate. Yeah. That's it. The offense is waking up from its early season slumber and beginning to look like the Goliath they almost always have been with Aaron Rodgers under center. But the defense. The defense. The defense is starting to fall back asleep and become the David they too almost always have been with Aaron Rodgers under center. And when you toss in special teams that have been atrocious for most of this century, you find yourself wondering just how far these Packers actually can go come January. Now, if the reinforcements give the defense a much-needed boost, and the rest of the group picks up its play as well, then yes, the Packers' main two units could very well be enough to cancel out the atrocious special teams, which seem like a lost cause as of now. In that case, Green Bay seems extremely likely to be one of the last two teams playing in the NFC, with an excellent chance to get to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl. But if the defense doesn't get back in gear, and fast, and the Packers revert back to their Aaron, please turn into Goliath and bail us out ways, well, we've seen how that goes, haven't we? That ends with Green Bay going home earlier than it would like, and Packer Nation entering the cold winter with a sour taste in its mouth once again. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lem's Talk and Pack. Hope you all had as much fun listening as I did recording it. Always a blast. We look ahead to next week now, and it'll be Christmas at Lambeau Field for the Packers as they take on the Cleveland Browns next Saturday, Christmas Day. That one is set for a 3:30 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff. The Browns obviously haven't quite had the season they hoped for coming in. Baker Mayfield's been beat to shit. He's struggled, dealing with a ton of injuries. They've been hit as a team by COVID hard. They were supposed to play Vegas on Saturday. That got moved to Monday because of all the COVID that's hit their team. So a very short week for them as they head into Lambeau. But you know, they got some big-time talent too. Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett, of course. And you know they're going to be desperate. So the Packers have to come ready. Hopefully it snows. Wouldn't that be awesome if it fucking snowed at Lambeau? That'd be great. As for when I'll be doing my show, I thought about recording on Christmas Day, doing it at night, doing a Daddy's Buzzed on Christmas show, but I decided I'm not gonna. I'll just record next Sunday night as usual. Again, that will be show number 100 for me as I hit the century mark. That's right, 100 shows. Can you believe that shit? I did the math on this. So the first 20 shows were on Podbean. Shout out to all the Podbean hardcores. Then I did 3 shows on Podbean that also ran on Packers Talk. And then the last 76... counting this one included, have run strictly on Packers Talk. So 99 episodes. What is that? So let's do the math on that. So I've done as of now, 99 episodes times, say, an average of, what, 40 minutes? 45 minutes a show? 4,455 minutes divided by 60. That's 74 hours. So I'm closing in on about the 75-hour mark. If you were to listen to every show I've ever done, which would be, of course, completely fucking insane. But yeah, it's cool that I've made it to 100. I'm proud of that. I'm not going to lie. Very excited to hit the century mark next week. And that will be available next Monday morning, the 27th. So keep your eyes and your ears up for that. And yes, I'll keep you posted. And happy holidays to you and yours. Whatever you choose to celebrate or not celebrate, I hope you all have a wonderful time. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.